Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dad, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. You know, every day when I listen to that song, it always puts me in a good mood because each of us can be a point of light, making the world a better place in the choices that we make every day. And here on this show, we're talking about how to thrive in a toxic world where we can be well and prosperous and happy and productive and anything else we want because we're not being affected by toxic chemicals in the world. And they can be in consumer products, they can be in the environment, they can even be in our bodies. And here on this show, we talk about how you can find safe alternatives that don't have toxic chemicals in them, how you can do things yourself that don't have, that aren't toxic, and how you can remove toxic chemicals from your body. So there's lots of things we can do to be points of light and make our lives better and the world better. Today we're going to be talking about growing our own organic food, and I have a wonderful guest for you. But before we get into that, I want to just read you a quote from David Masumoto, who grows and sells very high quality produce in California. And here's what he says. He says, "Grandma Rose considers homegrown produce superior to anything store-bought. A neighbor's gift of garden peas is welcomed at meals, and bartered goods, beans for a granddaughter's babysitting services, achieve special homegrown status. She values knowing where foods come from and who is responsible for them. She honors them by attaching names to dishes. Around the dinner table, I can hear, 'Please pass Gladys's squash,' or 'Little John's deer venison sausage.' Even my California raisins have a place at the table. After Marcy and I were married, she called them Masa's raisins." And I totally know what he's talking about because when I lived in California, I lived in the western part of Marin County, which is just across the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco. And the eastern part is all suburbia. And then there's a range of hills, foothills. And then the western part is all little villages dotted in between farms and forests. And so we have a lot of organic farmers out there. But also, everybody grew their own vegetables in their backyard. And everybody was always sharing, like tomato seeds. I grew tomatoes that were from my neighbor's seeds. So they were tomatoes that was a variety that was just for our little place where we lived. And we had another neighbor who every single house in the whole village had his raspberry canes. And we all knew it. And we just, it was so nice to know not only that the produce was coming from my backyard, but that my friends and neighbors were contributing the plants. And it was very much a feeling of connection that we were all doing this together and a really wonderful experience. Here in Florida, however, it's been a lot more difficult because basically I've got beach sand. And so I was very happy to get acquainted with my guest, Jay McFall, the owner of Organic Living for All. She's my local organic nursery and garden center person here in Florida. She grew up on an organic farm, but I'm going to let her tell her story. Welcome to Toxic Free Talk Radio, Jay.
Thank you, Deborah. Well, so, in the 60s, I lived up in Michigan with my family. Pardon?
Go ahead.
Okay. In the 60s, I lived with my family up in Michigan on a 10-acre farm, and we grew peaches and grapes and raspberries and cherries, and we raised all our own meat. So we had cows and chickens and goats and pigs and rabbits, and we had a huge garden down front that was in an old swampland. And so it was beautiful black dirt, and we grew all our vegetables. And we canned our jams, our jellies, our pickles, our sauerkraut. We had two freezers, one full of fruits and vegetables, one full of all the different kind of meats, and a big pantry. So we ate really, really good. Then in the 70s, I studied nursing and alternative medicine, but I decided I didn't really want to be a doctor or a nurse, So I worked at food co-ops teaching people about nutrition and how to be healthier. And the sad part about it was seeing people get sicker from eating as opposed to getting healthier. Like my three aunts were obese, and I watched them die of diabetes and heart failure and kidney failure due to poor food choices.
Yes.
So in 86, I bought the farm from my parents, and I started Jay's Organic Edible Landscaping, and I've been an organic edible landscape designer for over 25 years now, helping people grow their own healthy food.
Isn't it a wonderful thing to do that?
It is. I love it. There's nothing better than people when they come to me and go, I am feeling so much better because I'm eating food from my garden every day.
I can really tell. So I'll just tell, you know me, but I want to tell our listeners just a little bit about my background in growing. And that is that in California, I did have, it was easy to grow. And I had quite a lot of things. I remember having, I was growing heirloom tomatoes, and my garden, my house was on a hillside and at the bottom of a hill. And so there was this big hill, and then my house was at the bottom, and across the street was a creek. And so it was a split level house, and it had the house on top and then on top of a garage. And so there was a deck on the side, and then there was a flat place where we had the garden. It was 15 feet from the garden soil to the deck, and it had lattice all across it. And every year I would plant 6 heirloom tomato plants. And by the time the summer was over and we had eaten more tomatoes than we possibly could, and there were still tomatoes of all kinds, delicious. By the fall, those heirloom tomato plants were crawling all over my deck. They were 15 feet high. And
yeah, that's cool.
And it was wonderful. And we had tomatoes until the first frost, and then there was no more tomatoes. So we had a good 6 months of tomatoes. And all I did was dig a hole and put a fish head in it. And that was it. And I remember that one of the best meals I ever had was leeks and potatoes that I grew from my garden. And I just dug up the potatoes and I steamed them and I put organic butter on them and sauteed leeks. And oh my God, was that a good meal. And so I was able to grow all kinds of things. And then I moved to Florida, and the situation is very different here. And I still don't quite have it down, because the seasons are all backwards from California. I don't want to say Florida's backwards. It's just different. It's a different orientation. And there's like really no soil. But with Jay's help, this year for the first time, I actually grew some beautiful lettuces. I grew some tomatoes, which I hadn't been able to grow at all. And it wasn't as abundant as California yet. But I did manage to actually get the plants to grow. And I got, a good 3 dozen tomatoes off each plant, which is good for my Florida soil. But I see other gardens that she's done, and I've seen her nursery. And I just see that I could just make my garden this beautiful, lush, bountiful, abundant cornucopia of things to eat. And I also grow parsley, grows really well here, and herbs and sweet basil and these various things. So it's a matter of learning what to do and then actually doing it. So we're going to hear a lot more from Jay about why we should be growing our own food and how to do it, and some special products that she has right after this break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and I have one more commercial for you. I get lots of questions about cookware, so I want to tell you about my favorite cookware that I use every day. First, it's totally non-toxic. No trace metals or chemicals will leach into your food. Second, it is completely ceramic through and through. No metals anywhere. Third, and most important to me because I love to cook, the ceramic material enhances the flavor of foods and locks in moisture and nutrients. Because what good is toxic-free cookware if the food doesn't taste delicious? This marvelous cookware is called Extrema. You can buy their skillets, woks, bakeware, saucepans, and saucepots at Extrema.com. Use coupon code Deborah10 to save 10%. That's Xtrema.com. It begins with an X. Extrema.com. And also, before we get into talking with Jay again, I also want to just let all of you know that you may have heard this afternoon on the news that Tropical Storm Andrea is all over Florida, and it's about to hit landfall at any time. I'm right in the middle of this. We've got rain, we've got wind, we just had a power outage right before the show. So if you lose me, just hold on because I can come right back. And that might happen, it might not. But both Jay and I we're not far away from each other. So either one of us might get lost, but we'll be back. So just hold on. Okay. So we're talking with Jay McFall, owner of Organic Living for All. It's organiclivingforall.com. And Jay, you give these really wonderful workshops on Saturdays. And I have been to a number of them. And I'd especially like you to tell us some of the facts that you've given at your workshops about why growing your own food is better and how it's different from store-bought food.
I'd love to do that. Here's some facts that many people are unaware of. In 1936, the U.S. government tested soil throughout the country, and they released a document that reads, "Most of us are suffering from certain diet deficiencies which cannot be remedied until depleted soils from which our food comes are brought into proper mineral balance. The alarming fact is that food now being raised on millions of acres of land that no longer contain enough minerals is starving us, no matter how much of them we eat. Lacking vitamins, the system can make use of minerals, but lacking minerals, vitamins are useless." So that part is quite scary, because if the minerals are not in the soil, and the definition of minerals are elements essential for life, essential for all life.
Yes.
So if not in the soil, that means it's not in the food, and every function of our body depends upon minerals. So you can take the most expensive, best vitamins in the world, but if you don't have the minerals, then they're not going to do you any good.
Well, can't you just take a mineral supplement?
Well, you can, but if they're man-made, who knows if they're the correct balance and if they're the correct kinds? Because a lot of times they add iron to food, and that's not what we can absorb. This is like metal iron. So you wanna get your minerals from your food. That's the best. Because remember, Hippocrates said, "Let thy food be thy medicine. Let thy medicine be thy food."
Yes, I completely agree with this. I completely agree, and it does need to come from food, because if you just take minerals on their own and they're not assimilated by the plant, your body doesn't assimilate them in the same way. It's just like eating rocks. And so when we grow food in our own backyards, we can have control over what's going on in the soil and then how the plant is nourished, and then how that nourishment goes into our own bodies.
Exactly.
That's basically the idea, right? Yeah.
So shortly after this document was released, World War II broke out. And at the end of World War II, they had warehouses full of bomb-making equipment left over, and they needed to liquidate it. But they couldn't find anybody to buy bomb-making equipment. So one day, some soldiers were walking through the compound, and they noticed some barrels were being stored outside, and they were leaking, and the weeds were growing huge. So they said, "Good, let's sell this to the farmers." Now, Deborah, you know how many minerals it takes to make a bomb, right?
About how many? Three, right?
Right. Nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And those are man-made from petroleum products. They're not mined from the earth. So they started promoting this to the farmers. So let's say we have good soil and we plant our plants and you go to Home Depot to buy fertilizer and they're going to sell you a bag that says 10-10-10 or 10-20-10. And 10-10-10 means it's equal parts nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, man-made from petroleum products.
And it'll say NPK. NPK.
Yes, that'll say NPK. And plants actually need how many minerals in the soil to be healthy? Do you remember that, Deborah?
I don't know, but it's the number of minerals that exist on Earth. And I know, let's see, in Himalayan salt, there's, I think, 87 minerals or something like that. It's a much larger number than three.
Exactly. The research that I've done shows that it should be 90, 91, or 92 minerals.
Yes.
And so when you're planting and you're using a fertilizer that has three man-made minerals from petroleum products, those plants are going to be weak and unhealthy. And the first thing Mother Nature does is sends in the bugs. So then we spray poison on it, and then Mother Nature sends in the molds, the mildews, the funguses, the diseases, the weeds, anything to take out those unhealthy foods because she doesn't want us eating unhealthy foods.
Right.
So nowadays, the food in the grocery store is so full of toxins that a group, the Environmental Working Group, actually releases a list of the produce that's not organic, rated from the most toxic to the least toxic. And they label the 12 most toxic, the Dirty Dozen, and they label the least toxic 15, the safest 15.
Tell us what those are, but wait, we need to wait till after the break.
We'll go over that after.
Yeah. Okay. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and I'm here with Jay McFall, owner of Organic Living for All. Her website is organiclivingforall.com, and you can find out more about Toxic Free Talk Radio at toxicfreetalkradio.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and I'm here with my guest, Jay McFall, owner of Organic Living for All, and we're here in the first tropical storm of the season in Florida, Tropical Storm Andrea, and we still have our power, so we're still here with you. And Jay, you were going to tell us about the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15.
Yes. So many times people go to the grocery store and they think they're making the wisest decisions when they're buying unorganic produce. But I want to go over this list with you. The Dirty Dozen actually contains 47 to 67 toxins that cannot be washed off, peeled off, or soaked off. This year's list, apples is number one, celery is number two, then peaches, strawberries, domestic blueberries, nectarines, cherries, bell peppers, and they lumped spinach, kale, and collard greens as one, potatoes, imported grapes, and lettuce. Those are many people's favorite foods.
Yes.
So this is the list. And I'm not trying to get anybody to stop eating fruits and vegetables. I just want you to look at the toxins in these and switch either from this list to the safest list or to organics. Now,
I think it's really important that people hear what you're saying, because usually when we get nutrition advice, the advice goes something like eat more greens or an apple a day keeps the doctor away. But if you're eating just standard produce from the supermarket, you are getting multiple numbers of toxic chemicals. As Jay just said, you can't wash them off. You can't cut them off. They don't come out. Are the toxic chemicals causing more harm than the nutrients that are in the produce? And this particular produce may not even have as much nutrients. There's been many studies that show that organic produce has much more nutrition in the standard supermarket. So organic, organic, organic. Go ahead. Yeah. What we want is the real thing.
Right. If you switch from this Dirty Dozen, and you can find this list on my website. So if you switch from the Dirty Dozen to the Safest 15, you can reduce the amount of pesticides going into your body by 92%. That's significant.
It is.
The list is onions, avocados, pineapple, mango, and then they list sweet corn. Well, 88 to 92% of the sweet corn grown across the United States is genetically modified and should be avoided. If you don't know what that means, you can go to my website and get more information, because it's really, really important to know what that is and to avoid everything that is genetically modified.
I agree.
I'll continue the list. Good. Peas, asparagus, kiwi, cabbage, eggplant, cantaloupe, watermelon, grapefruit, sweet potatoes, and sweet onions. Now, I always tell people that buying organic is always the best, because you're going to have to pay the farmer now or pay the doctor later. And it's going to be much less expensive and much less painful to pay the farmer now than to pay the doctor later. But that's one of the reasons that I teach people how to grow their own food, because even if you're buying the best organic produce on the planet, here in Florida, there's not a lot of organics being grown, so a lot of it comes from California or Mexico or South America or even China. And we don't even know what the standards are in other countries. But if it was raised in California, it's been shipped for at least a week, and we know the nutritional value of foods decreases every day after it's picked. So ideally, we're growing it ourselves, and we're eating it fresh every single day. And I actually teach a workshop. Go ahead.
Well, I want to just emphasize that that is the most nutritional, the best thing for your health is to start out by eating organic food. One of the things a product that I recommend very highly and take myself is a set of nutritional supplements from Touchstone Essentials, where they have their own farms. The soil is mineralized. They pick the produce, and it immediately gets processed at low temperatures into a powder that goes into a capsule. And that people are having phenomenal success on improving their health by having that food. And this company was founded on the idea that the number one thing that you need for health is this fresh, right off the plant kind of food. And that's what you're talking about here also, Jay, is, I mean, these supplements are great for people who can't grow it in their backyard. But the number one thing to do is to grow it yourself, so that you can just walk outside and pick the tomato off the plant and put it in your mouth, or walk outside and cut the lettuce leaves and eat that salad. And there's nothing better for your health than that.
Nothing. And the soil preparation workshop that I teach actually teaches you the four different products that you need to add to your soil, which I don't have time to go into detail. But our number one product is called Garden Magic Number One, because people claim it's magic when they add it to the soil. And it has 91 minerals mined from an ancient seabed out in Nevada. And it is truly phenomenal. You've used it, Deborah, right?
Yes, I have. I've used all your products. And we do have time for you to talk about all of them. And if the break interrupts you, we'll just continue after the break. So go on with the next one. Yeah, tell us all about your products.
Okay. That's the plant food. You put this in, it's a whole food for the plants. It's got the 91 minerals. Then you know how we have the good bacteria in our gut, and that's our immune system. Well, those are supposed to be in the soil, too. You've eaten fresh blueberries and fresh grapes right off the vine, right, Deborah?
Yes.
Well, that silver sheen on the outside are the microorganisms. Mm-hmm. So when you're picking fresh fruit, it has the microorganisms right on it. You don't want to wipe it off or wash it off. You just eat it fresh, and you're getting those microorganisms. Now, microorganisms are alive, and they can't live without minerals as well. So when you add the minerals and the microorganisms together to good soil, which I will also teach you how to create, then you have a living community with the worms, the insects, the microorganisms, and the plants all working together, and you don't get bugs and you don't get diseases. You just get nutrient-dense, healthy food that tastes phenomenal because minerals are what gives food the flavor. Then the third product that we have...
You're going to tell us about the third product after the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindgat, and I'm here with Damon Fall of Organic Living for All. You can go to her website at organiclivingforall.com and find out about her products, about pesticides on food. You can look at beautiful pictures of her organic gardens, lots of videos, and we'll be back after this message. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindgat on a blustery tropical storm afternoon in Florida. And I'm here with my guest, also in Florida, Jay McFall, owner of Organic Living for All. And she's at organiclivingforall.com. And before the break, we were talking about your amazing soil amendments. So continue with those.
Well, when I was up in Michigan, I always added minerals and microorganisms to the soil, and my gardens were great. But when I moved down here, my first two gardens were miserable failures, and I had to figure out how to do it. So I did, and at first I was just using the minerals and the microorganisms, and my gardens were doing great. My peach tree went from 5 foot tall to 12 foot tall and 8 foot wide in a year and a half.
Wow.
It was producing delicious, phenomenal tasting juicy peaches. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. And so that's what I was using, was those two products for the first few years. And then I noticed that I was getting tomatoes and they tasted really good, but I never got anything like I did up in Michigan. And other people were saying the same thing. So I started doing some research. What do tomatoes want? Well, they want a pH of 6 to 6.5, and most of the soil here is 7 or higher. They want more calcium, and they're very susceptible to the bad nematodes in the soil going into their roots and sucking out all their energy and dying. So I did some research. Well, how do I handle this? Well, I found out that bat guano, and those of you who don't know what guano means, it means poop. So bat guano actually lowers the pH of the soil. It kills the bad nematodes, and it has lots of calcium. So I bought 1,800 pounds of bat guano about a year and a half ago.
Wow.
And we started doing experiments with it. And it was amazing. The tomatoes were, the plants themselves grew really fast. They were filled with fruit. They were delicious. And it was amazing how much production we got out of the tomatoes, kind of like what you did in California.
Yeah.
And everybody was really happy with that. And then I started experimenting with other plants, and everything loves it. So rather than call it tomato food, which I thought was it was going to be called, we mix it with worm castings, so we get the worm eggs and the other benefits of worm castings, as well as organic blood meal, and we call this superfood for the plants. And if you come over to my garden center and get a garden tour, you get to have a glass of iced tea made fresh from the garden, as well as taste the plants, and you will be able to tell the difference.
You really can. It's,
mm-hmm.
I think that probably most people listening, although I can't say that for sure, but I think that probably most people in this day and age have tasted organic food versus supermarket food and can tell the difference in how it tastes. I think most people in the world today have not tasted food grown in an organic garden with proper soil amendments so that it's a healthy, intensely nutritious food. And you can not only taste the difference, but you can feel the vitality. Your body feels different just putting the food in your body. And it just... anybody who loves good food will love just the taste of this food. You don't have to do anything to it. Just pick a leaf and put it in your mouth. It's really amazing.
Absolutely, that's true. So those were the first three products that we had, and that's all I was going to have, thinking that that was everything. Then about a year ago, I discovered about an ancient secret from 6,000 years ago that the Mayan Indians developed called biochar, and it holds five times as much moisture as regular soil. It absorbs the nutrients, and it releases them when the plants need it, as well as having lots and lots of carbon in the soil. So when you add that as well as the other products, it's amazing. We do a lot of experiments showing the difference, what you get with it and what you get without it. And so we added that.
So I bought all those new amendments, and I put them in my raised beds, and I had a much different garden last spring than I had before. My beds are now, it's summertime and not much grows in the summer here. In Florida, our big season is in the wintertime. But when it gets to be approaching fall, I'm going to be back with Jay and her nursery and finding out what I should be planting so that this year I can just have an abundant garden through the fall and winter and spring. And although I'm sure if I came to the nursery now, you'd tell me what I should be planting now, right?
Yes, there are actually a lot of products from around the world that love, love, love this heat, like New Zealand spinach, African spinach, longevity spinach. There's quite a few things. There's an Egyptian lettuce that I use in place of lettuce for the summer, and all of these love the heat, as well as many of the herbs and peppers, of course. So there's a lot you can grow in the summer that people, when I first moved down here, people would say you can't grow anything in the summer, or you can't grow food down here. But there's even okra and corn and several other things that will just do great down here in the summer.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of it has to do when you start growing things in our own little micro climates and little microsystems, that we need to be learning to eat different foods that we don't see in the supermarket. And I think that that's been part of it for me. I know that I see these strange things in the nursery and I go, well, gee, do I want to eat that? How does it taste, et cetera? And one of the things that Jay does really well is that she has these garden parties and she has people come and prepare these unusual foods. And one of my favorite things that she makes is that she just goes through the garden and she pulls leaves of different sorts, different herbs, different edible plants, and then she just starts piling them up and puts a little Parmesan cheese and olive oil in the middle and wraps it all up into this little herb bite. And it's so delicious, and her tea is so delicious, and it's just getting into starting to think in terms of having your garden, eating what belongs in your place, the nutrition of what grows here, and enjoying doing something that is not the standard industrial supermarket kind of thing. Jay, in the last few minutes, I just want to ask you, what are your recommendations for people who lead busy lives and don't always have time to garden? I think that that's what happened to me, is that I set up my garden, I had some success with it, and then I got really busy and it got to be the next season and now I need to figure it out again. But I feel really inspired that I want to eat out of my garden and I need to set that up as part of my life. So what's your suggestions for how people can do that?
Well, an easy way to do it is to build a raised bed. Like, say it's only 8 by 4 feet. That's 32 plants that you can grow up, and then you can actually grow carrots and beets and radishes growing down. So you can actually grow a lot of food in an 8 by 4 bed. And when it's raised, it gets less weeds. The rabbits and some of the pests can't get in it. And it's easy to harvest. You just walk out to it and harvest it every day. Now we can
build
that
for you. So when you say raised, how high is raised?
2 feet.
Yeah, we're not talking about 6 inches.
No. 6 inches is not enough dirt to grow plants in healthy. So 2 feet tall, and you can grow all kinds of things. It's easy to harvest because you're not having to bend over. And we could even build that for you. We could maintain it for you. You know, whatever people want is what we do. And I do consultations if people don't know what to do with their yard. I'll come over, spend a couple hours with you, asking you lots of questions so we can figure out what exactly you want to grow and do with your yard. And then I lay out a plan for you, and we can do it in stages. And I work with you until you get that yard the way you want it to be.
That's so good. What about people who don't live in Dunedin, Florida? Anybody can order on your online. They can order your soil amendments.
Right. It's my product. We ship them all over the United States, so that's not a problem. And I do have videos on my website on how to prepare your soil, and you can always call and ask questions. But there's probably enough on my website that you could learn from it. And you can always look in your neighborhood or in your town for a CSA. CSA means Community Supported Agriculture, which is like where somebody grows all the food and you buy a share and you get fresh food every week. Those are popping up everywhere, and we will be starting one of those hopefully in the next year here.
That would be so great. And also people can look for an organic nursery and garden center like yours in their local community, and they would know. You've done such a great job of having all the soil amendments, but also all the plants, and that you've figured out what grows here. And if you look for your local organic nursery, they should know what grows there too, that they'd be much more experienced with that than if you went to, say, a home improvement center. Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for being with me today. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. You can find out more at toxicfreetalkradio.com. And if you've enjoyed this show, please tell your friends.